All right, well, it looks like the gang's all here again. Joe Rose, John Congemi, Ken Bocamper, and we're kind of getting into these doldrums of the offseason. So we walk in, somebody goes, what are you going to talk about? I said, I got no friggin' idea. I got no idea. All I know is we got an hour to fill
that's
here.
That's called show prep.
And yeah, that's, you know.
That's our show prep.
Well, I was hoping you guys were in there yakking it up in there in the green room or the dump, as it should more appropriately be called in there. That's got to be the filthiest room.
I feel right at home. Listen. I feel right at home.
Yeah, somehow I do too.
It's not bad. It's like it's got a little locker room.
As long as I can get a chair, I'm happy. I'll sit in there for hours.
It's always got cold water.
Because there's always good information going by. Not much of it. There's not much of it's reality based. But a lot of good.
It's not accurate, but it's good bullshit.
A lot of good stuff.
No, exactly.
A lot of good stuff going on in there. Anyway, the Dolphins are in their phase three of the off season workouts, OTAs. Going through this week, next week they've got the mandatory mini camp, right? The following week,
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
and then after that, it's kind of off and running back until. I guess they have one more OTA after that.
They do.
June 11th to 14th.
They end on the 14th, and then it's
until training camp.
That's right.
Which I still don't understand the reasoning behind that. I mean, you get guys at a peak physical condition. And then you go, hey, you got 5 weeks off now to training camp.
Yeah, try to stay in shape on your own. Get a vacation in.
But I'll give these guys credit. A lot of them, most of these guys
do. They do.
Most of these guys have got there. But you're right, though,
Bo. Why wouldn't you, if you're trying to get the best out of these guys, and you're still trying to make sure they're rested and refreshed for the regular season, well, a week in between or a week and a half or 2 weeks in between would have been nice just to roll in. To training camp, or just butt it right up to training camp.
Don't start these OTAs later.
Yeah.
Right? And then get to where you get OTAs, your mini camp, OTAs, and then give them about a week and come back training camps.
Now
they're still in good shape. They're still ready to go. They've been through it. I don't know.
I will tell you one thing. At the end of it, you start getting within a week or two, no matter where you are, California, you start thinking about it. Already going, okay. We got gassers when we get back. We got conditioning. Yeah. Those two practices a day.
12-minute run.
Oh, man. So you start thinking about all that stuff. So you're no good the last week.
The last week before, you're right. The last week before, it's horrible. We went the worst beginning of a training camp I ever went on. I met a guy named Stan Smoker here in Fort Lauderdale, a wonderful guy. And he bought an island in the Bahamas, right? Bought an island by Treasure Key in the Bahamas. And basically took electricity from Treasure Key and brought it basically ran an extension cord across the Caribbean Ocean to this island, and he was kind of subdivided a little bit, and he was selling little beach cottages there at the time.
Yeah.
So he said, come on, he got a landing strip, a little dirt landing strip, and a little marina with boats, and you could go to different. It was beautiful. I mean, it was paradise. So we went over there. Training camp's about 2 weeks. We went over there and spent 5 days or whatever. It wasn't even more than that. It was because we went the day after. Went there, and it was paradise. I mean, sand. We'd walk on the beach. You could walk on the beach for an hour and never see another footprint. You go dive in the water. It was crystal clear. And the reefs were pristine. Fish everywhere. We'd spearfish like a grouper on the way out. And an hour later, you're eating it up in your little beach house and stuff. I mean, it was so nice. So we were there. Got back like in the evening, and then the next day, but the day after, went to training camp. And it was the most miserable training camp I ever, because I felt like I went from heaven to hell
in
a matter of 48 hours. And I said, no way, no way I would ever do that again.
You know what? That's great that you have those memories of what training camp was, because it was like that in those days. But now think about the modern player coming into training camp. He knows he doesn't have to put on pads maybe five times the entire training camp. He's got to worry about how he's going to go from the recovery station back to the catered lunch that's going on.
And you got to worry.
And you've got a long day of meetings, but the practice window and the time that the coaches have to get on the field with the players.
It's all mental work now.
It really is, guys.
It is all mental work.
It's that taxing stuff, that 12-minute run, the gas, there's all that stuff. If you're not in shape now – by the time you get to camp, man, you stick out like that guy's got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I keep waiting after I watch these practices, and I don't want to sound like one of those old guys.
Yeah.
Well, I watch them practice, and I'm going, okay, they finish that practice. I'm sure they're going to do some conditioning now.
Nothing.
They're off the field.
No,
I'm like, that's it?
Well, I know for us, it was you'd walk in that meeting, and Coach, you'll always put the overhead projector. First thing you did was slide the practice schedule up there. And everybody's eyes went right to the bottom.
Where is it?
No, went right to the bottom. It's just to see if, you knew.
One day, just
hoping one day we'd go, okay, no gassers today. You know,
amazing.
You would have had,
stress.
You would have had 100 guys in that room
going
jumping
crazy,
up and down,
right?
Dancing down the halls.
If you could practice, it got where you paced yourself.
I got gassers coming up, like two periods.
No one, you're getting in these practices in the morning, which was a run practice, and I'm already halfway through thinking, man, we got to run those three gassers.
I remember exactly how we used to end up with live goal line.
Right.
Remember it? We'd end up with live goal line at the end of practice. And so once you were, once you knew you were done, your group was done, then, it was okay, everybody up, and then it was to lead the gassers. As soon as I was done with that goal, I started peeling pads off, taking the pads out from my pants, lighting it up as much as I could. I took everything off that I could to run these damn gassers and then go out and run the damn gassers. And they still.
Man, it was incredible. That thing literally, hey, I wonder if today, it was getting towards the end of the week, are we doing gassers there? Are we close enough to a game?
Yeah, no.
Right.
No.
He usually did.
My rookie year, the one thing that shocked me my rookie year when I came in was on the day before the game, the Saturday or the Friday before a Saturday, because I already played Saturday game. Friday before Saturday game, we'd go in shorts and shoulder pads. It was not the cap, not
wasn't
the cap.
Hat day.
No, it was shorts and shoulder pads the day before the game. You're like, oh, geez, this guy's all about business here, man.
You guys all saw a story with the guy that left the Patriots.
That's
said
right.
He never had any fun.
No fun. Yeah.
And all I could do is think about, listen, man, wasn't a lot of fun. Like, I understand what the guy was saying, but, dude, winning, going 13-3 and going to
double-digit victory is pretty fun.
Hello, that's what it's about. It's Belichick's job.
Yeah.
That was Shula's job. It wasn't to make sure
everybody's
we were having
a
great
time.
Coach, we getting some new games in today to play?
Right. Well, hey, when's the ping pong table coming in?
Right?
It wasn't any of that, But, we had talked about that on the program, one of the programs earlier. Is it, to me, I used to hate football practice. The only thing was fun about football was winning a football game.
Right.
Because if you lost a football game, that certainly wasn't fun. Yeah.
But game day's the best.
And with him, game day's awesome.
Sundays are just the rush.
Awesome.
I've been trying to get that high.
Yeah.
I've tried everything to try to get that high that you get on Sunday.
Somebody else talking to a friend, talking to a guy
close
last week.
Well, you were a good. You tried hard.
You tried everything. You tried as hard as that as you did. Well, maybe I should say, if you'd have tried as hard playing football as that, you'd be in the Hall of Fame
right now.
I know you ain't kidding.
Didn't you were turning over every acorn?
I tried everything. I told a counselor once. He goes, "Well, how you doing?" I go, "I haven't been able to find that rush that I got on Sunday, starting a 1 o'clock or a Monday night football game." I said, "But sure have been looking for everything you have in South Florida."
Is there a way to pharmaceutically get back to that spot?
Counseling.
Yeah. So anyway, they're in OTAs today now, and they're doing 7-on-7s, 9-on-7, 11-on-11, all that kind of stuff. Minicamp will be fun to watch because minicamp now just becomes a little more intense, I think. The whole minicamp thing.
John, I'm looking for guys to get caught up. This OTA thing's a chance for young guys to get caught up.
Yep.
And actually what they've learned
in the
classroom, meeting rooms to come out and put it where it gets normal.
So when these mini camps, they can really compete. At a closer level,
And they're not thinking and worried about stuff. They got a little bit of an idea what they're doing.
And look, and the other thing is, to me, that's a little bit of advantage the way they practice now. And look, it's not the players that are, it's the Players Association, collective bargaining have got us to where we're at right now. If the players were practicing, I always said that it was harder before I got into this league, and easier after I left the league. But what those guys did was harder than the guys are doing. You know what I mean? I'm saying each generation has gotten easier because of injuries and all these types of things. But don't for a minute think that if these guys weren't going through the same thing that we went through, 3-a-day practices, full pay. They'd be doing the same thing. These guys are equipped to do that.
Absolutely.
It's just the nature of the game and where it's gone.
I'm amazed how these guys can practice at a high rate of speed,
yeah.
and these guys are moving. There's 22 bodies yeah. going as fast as humanly possible, and everybody's off the ground, yeah. and nobody's yeah. getting really hurt. There's not a lot of mistake contact, yeah. Accidental contact.
Well, it's funny you say that because
guys are ripping around.
I watch out there. I go, I'm surprised more guys don't get hurt out there.
I know
because guys are still coming off the line of scrimmage.
Oh, the linebackers,
guys are rushing
yeah.
the passer. They're coming.
I know.
And DBs are they're jostling. Linebackers are stepping up. They're just not tackling guys, but they're going. They're going at a rapid pace yeah. out there. I'm surprised more guys don't have injuries from that.
Well, that goes back to guys staying shape year yeah. round, especially the speed guys and. Skill position guys, cover corners and wide receivers.
Yep.
It's a big part of it. They're
it
used to playing against each other without pads.
The other thing these days is, as you know, in this league, it's a constant change. Things change all the time. And one of the changes we'll get into today on the program is special teams a little bit. Special teams coordinator and associate head coach Darren Rizzi is going to join us on the program today. And Darren's always a good conversation.
The best.
Always a good conversation with Darren Rizzi. And we'll get a chance to talk about the kickoff, changing the kickoff rules. They drafted a kicker in the seventh round. So we'll
Sanders,
talk about him,
yeah.
Jason Sanders. We'll talk about him with him a little bit. But just get an idea with Coach Rizzi, what they're trying to do special teams-wise to, once again, make the game safer. And so these kids can have a longer career. And not only that, but be much better off after they're done than what
right.
some of the people we've
right.
been around. Have ended up being.
I think everybody wants to keep the kickoff. They're trying
yeah.
everything
yeah.
to keep the kickoff return. But the CTE
yeah.
and the concussions, they're concerned. There's way too many
yeah.
on the – still the highest percentage in football is from the kickoff return.
But also the kick – guy takes the ball 3 yards, 4 yards deep in the end zone and takes it to the house. One of the greatest, one of the great plays in football,
that's
right?
Right.
I personally would hate to give up that.
I agree.
And you don't see them a lot. I mean, you're not like it happens every game, but when you see them, they're special.
Yeah.
And I hate to see that. I hate to see that part of the game fall by the wayside.
Well, you're sitting there, if you're in that position as a player on the sidelines going, man, this is our chance right now.
Yeah.
If we can take this thing to the house and you break that special teams huddle and you're running on the field with the belief
yeah.
that you're going to be the unit that either wins the game or ties it up or gets you back in
yeah.
the game.
How about just get you great field position?
Or just,
how about your offense
yeah.
coming up?
45-yard line.
Yeah,
right.
That, like, wow, all of a sudden you shorten the field for us, fellas. Thank you.
Well, yeah. look, this is a league now that for all intents and purposes, has no more fullbacks in it. And now you're doing this. There goes the Devin Hesters and the Deion, the Deion Sanders
yeah.
and those guys that had those kick returns that were just good at doing it and got the job done. Those future Devin Hesters, they're gonna have to find something else to do.
Yeah, look at our roster and the way Jakeem was built
yeah.
to come into this league and give him an opportunity. If he didn't have that opportunity to have that threat, who knows if he'd still be on the roster as a wide receiver?
Yeah,
because in my mind, you're looking a couple years, through the last two or three years, going, well, I don't know if he'd have made it that far. If I'm evaluating
yeah.
the talent on the team, but that ability kept him on the roster
yeah.
so he could mature as a wide receiver, and we saw
yeah,
what he
yeah.
did midway through last year.
Just keep you around.
Well, there have been a lot of guys that have come through this league as wide receivers and started off. O.J. McDuffie was returning
right.
kicks and punts. Durrell Harris, when we had him, he was returning. So a lot of guys,
kind of
yeah. Get their foot in the door by having that talent, and then they become great receivers in the league. If that's kind of where they're inclined to end up at. And so, yeah, it's but look, the changes are for good reasons, and I understand that, but I'm an old fart and I like those aspects
no,
of the
I
game.
I like the stuff too, but the health has become number one issue. That's one thing. I'm not a huge fan of this NFL commissioner
yeah.
at all, but the one thing he is trying to do with these lawsuits, and I understand completely, make the game safer. You can't get on somebody.
Well, why you got a big bone to pick with him? I don't understand why he's got a big bone to pick with him.
I think the way he's handled certain issues,
yeah.
I like to see him get out in front of him instead
yeah.
of always chasing him.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
be my biggest thing.
I got you. Okay. All right.
You like him?
No, I don't. I don't like him. I don't
no,
dislike
no, I mean,
him.
No, no. But do you like what he's doing personally? He might be the nicest guy in the world. I don't know.
Well, look, he,
just as a commissioner,
I think he's found himself in. I think he's found himself in some situations that Pete Rozelle never had to deal with. All this kind of stuff,
Well, we never had any concussions in the 80s.
No, but no, yeah, domestic violence. those kind of things.
Yeah, all, you're right.
And if you don't, if you think that stuff wasn't going on back then, then you have your head in a hole, you know. But I just think that, you know, it's where we're at. It's the way our society is now. But I don't look. I'm neither pro or against him, but I'm certainly not adamantly against the commissioner of the.
I just like to see him get out in front of a couple issues.
Yeah. Joining us is the associate head coach and special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi. And coach, you're obviously, I mean, that's your bailiwick, the special teams. And it seems like your job is getting more and more difficult every year. It seems like every year you've got to reinvent the way to cover kicks and punts and everything else you do on special teams. I remember the, you know, the when you moved it back, you know, there was a feeling you take a step back, you kneel down. Then all of a sudden, everyone says, "You know, just back up to the end of the end zone, and if you can catch the ball running forward, then keep going." I mean, they make these changes in the rules, and for you, that's almost like, well, let me reinvent the kicking game somewhat with the new rules that I can play with now.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing's been interesting for me because I was actually part of the deal, yeah. I was part of the committee, and so that was, you know, it was weird because it was. There was a couple of different narratives that were coming out. And if you read all the media and all that, it was this narrative after the season, like, oh, we're going to eliminate kickoff. And so I went up there with, to be honest with you, very, very cautiously and kind of waiting to see what the narrative was in New York. And that really wasn't a narrative.
Yeah.
So it's like all the stuff you were reading about eliminating, that really wasn't what was going on. What they were talking about up there was number one, making the play safer. Mm-hmm. And that was really the number one thing. What can we do to make this place safer? And there was a 3-year study done about all the concussions that had happened on kickoffs. And we went through, and there were 71. And there was 26 in 15, there was 27 in 16, then it went down to 18 this year in 2017. So that was a nice thing to see was actually coming right. on a downslope. What the NFL people did is the analytics people, and the medical team and all that, they went through and really dissected exactly where these injuries were happening. Like exactly where, it was really cool. They kind of put up these graphics on, these are the guys that are getting hurt. This is where the part of the field they're getting hurt on. These are the part of the play they're getting hurt on. And so what we tried to do, myself and the eight other coaches that were involved, it was myself and eight other special teams coaches. We tried to take a lot of those elements out of the play in the hopes that we're going to obviously make keep those head injuries coming on a decline. Yeah. And really the big ones were really eliminating the wedge. And what we had seen over the years was a lot of guys, us included, were putting linemen back there.
Yes.
Big offensive linemen, defensive linemen, some bigger guys. And maybe you're down the line guys, your 6th, 7th offensive lineman, or your
defensive end.
Your 8th or 9th. Yeah, like Terrence Fidday last year, for example.
Right.
Terrence Fidday, Vincent Taylor, guys that were down the line, weren't playing as much on defense. We were using those guys. And what were they doing? They were forming a wedge. And a lot of those plays were happening at the point of attack, at the wedge block. And you have a smaller, faster guy come running down. And then what were special teams coaches telling that guy to do? Split the wedge. Mm-hmm. Absorb 2 blocks. And so you had a lot of those collisions happen at that point. So we eliminated that part. The second part was in that first 15 yards. A lot of teams on the front line, balls kicked. You go have a guy go attack right now. Some people call it a attack block, a chip block, a jump set, whatever. A lot of those are happening in the first 15 yards. So we've eliminated that part of it. And so those two aspects alone, I think, are going to get rid of a lot of these head injuries. That's number one. And that was the first part of it. And then there was a big concern about these long field, high speed collisions. You have a guy running for a long time, a long time getting untouched all the way to the point of attack, running 40, 50 yards, and then all of a sudden, boom. So a lot of people have asked me, why did we change the actual kickoff team? Why we just change kickoff return team? Well, the reasons were you had a lot of these motions and bunches and things like that where the kickoff return team was misidentifying, and that's where you had these free runners.
Yeah.
And so now what we've tried to do with this play is more guys up, make the kickoff team a little bit more vanilla, if you will, very static, 5x5. They have to be in certain landmarks. And now it's a lot easier for the kickoff return team to identify.
Yeah.
And now you're not going to have all these free runners. You're going to get people on people. And so a lot of people have asked me, hey, you know, do you think there's going to be more touchbacks? I actually don't.
Yeah.
If I sitting here today, I
it
would
should
say
add to more excitement, more returns, maybe, right?
I absolutely feel, you know, looking at it, and the more I've kind of dissected, I really feel like there's actually going to be more returns. I just think it's going to be a different play.
Right.
it's going to be more spaced out, and a guy that could help a guy like Jakeem Grant. You know, the Patriots signed Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, where you saw the guys in the end zone this year maybe taking a knee if they caught it three or four deep, I think those are going to be plays now. Because why? Because the kickoff team is not going to be as far down the field. Right. They don't have a five-yard running start. And you guys know that momentum, that five-yard momentum, you get a little juice going. Now you're going to have to just sit there and wait till the ball's kicked before those guys even leave.
So let's see. So the kickoff play, the kickoff guys need to be at the line of scrimmage now.
Yeah, they need to be right where the ball is.
They're giving them 1 yard.
But 1 yard back off the ball.
But they're saying they're going to officiate that like a pane of glass. Right. So they really can't leave.
They can't leave until the ball's kicked. So it's a standing start now instead of a running start.
Exactly right.
On the return side, they're stationed 15 yards back.
Well, that's where they will be. There's still the 10-yard area, but you can't block anybody on the kickoff team in the first 15. So really to the 50.
Right.
General kick from the 35 to the 50.
There's no
block zone unless the ball hits the ground on an onside kick.
It's onside kick, right.
Or it's touched.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you know, the ball gets touched quickly or whatever. So if you dribble one, and really, so a lot of people said to me, oh, it's really going to affect the onside kick. No, it's not. 99.9% of the onside kicks hit the ground right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can go and still block that guy.
Yeah.
Rarely do you see an onside kick go in the air because you can fair catch it. So no one's really kicking onside kicks in the air because those guys can fair catch it.
So does that distance mean that instead of those long runs, it's going to be guys just trying to move guys out of lanes, basically.
Well, what I
it's
think
almost like a catch and push kind of be
like
situation.
A punt return.
It is. Yeah. And what I think you're going to see is that front line technique on kickoff return, if you ask the players, one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, because you got to turn around.
It's like playing open court defense on LeBron James. You go
with a blindfold for about 10 seconds.
Exactly, because you got to turn and run. It's like playing transition defense. Yeah. Now they're going to have a little more time to get back and get set and get their feet underneath them. A lot of times they were getting back and the guy's running past already. Now they can get back, get set a little bit. So I think you're going to see a lot more one-on-one blocks. They've got now those guys that are up front in that setup zone, they can double team.
Yeah.
But they can't wedge. They can't run back in front of the returner and have like a running start. But John and I, if we were together, we'd come together right now and we could block you, at the 30-yard line, let's say. So you could still do that.
Yeah.
But you're going to see a lot more wide open. And I think what Joe just said, it is going to be more like a punt return. It's going to be a more wide open play. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see these big trap blocks and kick out blocks and wedge blocks.
Have you been amazed that the punt return hasn't been discussed at all? Apparently, it's been pretty clean as far as concussions go.
Yeah, so there's been some other injuries on, and we actually talked about it briefly, but the kickoff was obviously was kind of at the forefront. So we did talk about the punt, and I think that's going to be a little bit more discussion next year. Then they're going to look at the punt again this year a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there's some other injuries that are happening on punt, but you don't see as many punt those collisions. Number one, there's no wedge. Number two, everybody's on a guy right now.
Yeah.
You're up on the line of scrimmage and you're getting on guys right now. So you don't get those free runners and those 40, you don't get those. You don't get a lot of those big, and you'd be surprised, a lot of people have asked me, the ball carrier, it's not the ball carrier.
Yeah.
It's not the ball carrier these concussions are happening to.
Yeah.
It's the kick coverage guys, and it was guys that were in that back end of the kickoff return that they're having those collisions with those free runners. You'd be surprised. Out of those 71 the last 3 years, a handful, maybe two or three, were the ball carrier.
Yeah.
It's not the ball carrier. It's the other guys involved.
Those guys pretty good not taking direct hits, first of all. They make the first guys just seem like the first flyer that's always down or almost always whiffs.
Always miss.
He's running. He got no shot.
So, Darren, do you see the direction this is moving in? And it sounds like this was a pretty big step forward in increasing the safety on that play. Do you think the kickoff remains in this game 5 years from now?
From the meeting that I was up at, I was there all day in the NFL offices.
You say there was eight last year?
There was eight, it went from 27 to 18.
Oh, so there are 18. Yeah. So that thing goes down to five. Yeah. You think the league says, hey, we're in a pretty good stead right now?
I think you're going to look more – it's going to be more of a percentage because if there's more returns, it'll be what percentage of – they say right now you have, four times likely to get a head injury on a kickoff than you do. I think as those numbers start to come down and we see the improvement. And to be honest with you, I still think we can still look at the play and say, okay, if there – let's just argument's sake, say there was a handful next year. Yeah. Where did those happen? How did those happen?
Right. Is there and things we can do? Tweak that.
Yeah. I mean, going into that meeting, I had heard this narrative, the onside kick's the most dangerous play in the game. We got to get rid of the onside kick. There was two out of 71 in the last 3 years on the onside kick. So that really is not
that
a
did surprise me, though.
Yeah.
Guys used to wipe the front line guys out, the guys behind them making plays.
Well, you know where they used to be? There used to be that big spike kick goes into the ground, and then those guys are going to block. Yeah. A lot of people aren't spiking anymore because teams have gotten really good at defending that play.
Yeah.
So if you like looked at our onside kicks last year, we never did that because you line up in your deal, they know what's coming, they go block you right now, and the guy catches the ball and gets on the ground and plays over. So we try to do a little something to keep everybody off balance. And so I think, Bo, if we steadily see improvement, the narrative in that room, there was 9 special teams coaches, there was 3 owners, there was 3 head coaches, the NFL people, no one's in that room. Standing on the table saying we got
rid of it.
It's how can we improve? And there was former players there, Steve Tasker, Antoine Randall L, James Thrash, Michael Thomas, current player for the Giants, our former Michael Thomas, he was there. Everybody is on board and making what can we do to make this play better. And the other thing that was kind of this jumped out at me is there was 11 out of the 71 concussions that were on touchbacks.
Really?
And that was a number that they really were concerned about. Yeah. And so what we did was
because it's a no play.
It's a no play.
Yeah.
And what was happening was the whistle's getting too. Number one, the officials, you know, self-admittedly say we got to shut this play down quicker.
Yeah.
Number two, now you're not going to have to go and cover up every and down every ball. If the ball hits in the end zone, they're going to blow it down.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the ground or in the air, you don't have to go down and cover every ball. Right. That's taking 3 or 4 seconds sometimes.
Yeah.
Now if the returner doesn't want to return it. Let's hit the ground, ball's plays blown dead. You have 2 more seconds of him getting down and all that. You don't have to worry about juggling the ball.
Right.
Now, if it's touched, then you have to cover it up. But untouched, the ball hits in the now dead
so
ball.
So you know, as a returner, and it's coming either at you or just a little bit over your head, you can totally get out of the way.
Ball hits the
Let
ground.
Let it hit.
Boom, play over.
Right.
Play is completely over.
So as a special team coach under the rules that are going into effect this year, do you see different type of players now making up that kickoff and kickoff return team? Even more of the faster, more of the DBs, wide receivers, mid-size linebackers.
It was one of the first things I said. I came back and, Adam Gase and Chris Greer and Tannenbaum, those guys all grabbed me, had to go, whatever. And I said to them, I really think this is going to change some rosters.
Yeah.
And your last few guys on the roster where you used to keep maybe the extra O lineman or the extra D lineman, I really think you're going to see teams keeping the extra DBs, the receivers, the running backs, those body types because of this.
Yeah.
There used to be, people used to put in the front line 5 or 6 guys on KOR. Now you have 8. I'm going to be honest with you. Some weeks in the middle of the season, we have a tough time finding 5 or 6 with healthy bodies that aren't playing a lot of offense, defense.
Right.
Now all of a sudden there's 8 guys playing up there. And those lineman type of guys are going to be – you're going to see those guys no longer be
on. Disappear.
They're going to be – the Terrence Fidet type of people aren't going to be on. The Vincent Taylors aren't going to be on your kickoff.
Safeties, corners.
Safeties, corners, athletic receiver, big wideouts, running backs, Snorris Perrys, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
You're going to see more of those type of guys making rosters. More DBs.
I want to ask you a little bit, maybe off the topic of concussion and injury on special teams or kickoff return and kickoff cover. Do you think that the penalties, the types of blocks in the back, the types of things where you're always reaching and running, do you think that might dissipate a little bit throughout the league because of guys, number one, identifying where guys are coming from, and number two, being able to get back and be in a better position to sustain a block for a shorter amount of time because that returner is going to be to that 30 or 20 yard line quicker?
Yep. So two things. One, it's definitely made the front line's job easier. There's no doubt about that. It went from being one of the hardest things. It got a little bit easier for those guys. They can get more frontal. It's not going to be not going to be hanging on an edge, grabbing a guy or blocking a guy in the back. I think it's going to be more of a frontal game. Now, you got to make sure you keep your hands and you might see more holds, but the blocks in the back you might see go down. The second penalty you saw a ton of is when those big guys were in the back, they would sometimes get on an athletic guy and lose him and grab him and put him on the ground. You're not going to see as much as that anymore. So I do think now the punt obviously hasn't changed. So you're still going to see that might be. But I that's a very good point. I don't think those guys are going to be in as bad a position now.
And they may be wedged in that 15-yard area a little bit more than spread out, I think.
Anyway. No question. Yeah. And now you have all those guys in that setup zone. And the other thing that you got to keep remembering is the kickoff team can only do so many things. So it allows the kickoff return team it's like a chess match.
Yeah.
You're already getting creative on this thing. You're already thinking about some different things that you can do within the rules.
Absolutely. On the kickoff, you have to have two guys outside the numbers. Used to be one. Now you have to have two. You have to have two guys in between the hash and the numbers, and then on each side, basically that fifth guy can be kind of being a floater. He can go kind of wherever. So if you move the ball over and kick from the hash, maybe he can move to the middle of the field or whatever. So you kind of gave the flexibility to do that with the fifth guy. But there's not that much you can do. You can't run the guys anymore, more motions. And and so it makes the job of the kickoff return team a lot easier. So I do think the penalties might come down a little bit on that.
Let's talk about you lost a damn good kicker. Oh, and talking about onside kicks, my God, nobody did it better than you guys. And he was a big part of it, obviously. And it's one of the most accurate guys. He's gone. You got somebody, two young guys in here. Any idea? Everybody's already looking. I'm guilty looking at the numbers going, geez, what are we getting the seventh round here? You were explaining some of it about what you saw in your draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Cody Parkey, let's start with that first. Cody Parkey is a great player. Is a great player, was a great player for us. It's a shame it didn't work out. Obviously, you know, the business side of it, you know, you guys know how it goes. I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, hell yeah, I wanted him back. I mean, why wouldn't I? He was a great player. He was a great guy to be around. And so, hey, listen, it didn't work out. And so the process kind of started once we realized we lost him. The process starts over again. And what do? You go out and you kind of scour around. We looked at the guy, available free agents. We brought some guys in, worked them out. We worked some free agents out that were on the streets, some guys that kicked last year for NFL teams. Didn't feel the need to jump at anybody right away. Wanted to kind of go and scour the college kind of scene a little bit, and probably worked out 15, 20 different guys. Went and saw a whole bunch of different guys around the country. And so you start narrowing the list down. And then you start narrowing the list down. Okay, what are the most important things? And obviously leg strength and accuracy and all those things. You start looking at all those things. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into kicking. And the college game, you cannot, it's very, I can't, I'm not gonna say you can't, but it's very difficult to compare a college kicker to an NFL kicker, you know, and why? Okay, well, the ball's different. The hashes are different. Mm-hmm. The operation's different. Yeah. All those things are different. So what you try to do is say, okay, this guy in an NFL setting, how is he going to respond? Mm-hmm. How is he going to do
it? How can you project?
And you guys have heard me. I threw the numbers around about all the guys that have been crappy in college, if you will, percentage-wise, and have come into the league and have overcome that. Mm-hmm. There's been plenty of those guys. You guys have heard the list. You've heard me say that. So, you know, in going down, we kind of narrowed our list down to three or four guys. Okay, these are the guys we're really going to focus in on, Jason Sanders being one of them, obviously. And I had a great workout with him out in New Mexico. We brought him out here for a 30 visit. Really liked him athletically. Didn't get a lot of opportunities in college. He only had 35 attempts. He had a bunch of PATs, which I think he made all but one. He had a great kickoff, touchback percentage, best in the country. And so he obviously had the ability. And that's okay, all right, this guy only had 35 attempts. All right, you know what? And then you start looking, okay, why did he miss? Why did he miss the ones he missed? And you start breaking them down. Well, I'm going to say 75% of the ones he missed, he was kicking the laces.
Yeah.
And so he had a bad operation where, you know, when you kick the laces on a football, the ball tends to hook, you know, for a righty, hooks left. And so that's where a lot of his misses were on, just really account of his bad operation. So kind of take the field goal percentage, and it's kind of like when we had Andrew Franks. Andrew kicked at a Division III school, but he had a ton of ability. Okay, when this guy comes in with this much ability and you put him with an NFL snapper, NFL holder, a different football, different hashes, all that, how's he going to respond? He obviously
a little different result.
Result. So Jason Sanders had some misses there, but a lot of them weren't on him. Yeah. He's not going to stand up and tell the media that. He's not going to come here and say, oh, it was that guy's fault.
Shitty hold.
Yeah,
it was a guy got the laces a little better.
It's funny. I'm watching. The day after the draft, some guy sent a question, I think, for what we're doing. He goes, why the hell did you draft a kicker? He was going on and on. I go, first of all, we didn't have a goddamn kicker. We had no kicker on the roster.
That's right.
You got to get one before you go in. So I said, take him to seven, last pick in the draft, your last pick in the draft. What the hell? Why not take a flyer on a guy?
A lot of people
at least
say,
you get the best that you the one you want, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people say, how come you just didn't take him as an undrafted free agent? He might have made it through. Well, he might not have
gone somewhere else. Yeah.
And then I can tell you right now, I know for a fact that he had a lot of other interests.
Yeah. Right.
And so now you get into a bidding war over a couple $1,000s here on a signing bonus. Next thing you know, you don't end up with the guy. So we just wanted to make sure we ended up with the guy, and he was in our top couple of guys. And, so I felt really good about the guy. I felt really good about his ability. I mean, the bottom line, he's the bottom line. He's going to go out there. He's going to make kicks. But he's got plenty of ability. I'm not worried about that. He's one of those guys. I think I mentioned this before. If he went to, one of these Power 5 schools, he might have got drafted higher.
He got more opportunities.
Had more opportunities.
Right.
He didn't only have 35 attempts. Yeah. You know, his junior year, he was 12 for 13. He had a really good junior year. And then senior year, he missed a couple of those that I mentioned. So, you know, it's obviously a certainly an interesting deal. We signed Greg Joseph, too, from Florida Atlantic, who I worked out a few times. Right. He's got a ton of ability. He's a guy that's got a huge leg and really banged the ball. He's just got to kind of, we're focusing on his technique field goal-wise right now, very similar deals.
What do you do on technique? I was going to ask you. Obviously, man, that punting and kicking thing is different because none of us, we just want him to make it, but nobody, when the guy's got
nobody
a problem,
cares how it
knows
happens.
What to do, you know? So how do you handle that on technique of a kicker or if he gets a little?
Yeah, sometimes these college guys come in and they're a little bit, it could be something really simple. You know, I always compare kicking to golfing. Yeah. It's very, very, you know, it could be the slightest thing, you know, in golf. Maybe it's your hand or maybe it's the way your elbow's bent. Kicking's very similar. Mm-hmm. It could be your plant foot's a little bit off. You're maybe stepping a little too far. It could be your walk off on the ball. You're too far away. It could be, you know, something about just keeping your head down, something simple. Yeah. So a lot of times the college guys get a little bit out of whack with their technique and they're a little bit all over the place. And so you really try to narrow it down and kind of focus it. Or it's like pitching, you know, pitching in baseball. You know, you could be move a guy 2 inches on the left on the rubber and all of a sudden he's throwing strikes or, you know, his stride. Or it could be, you know, so a lot of those things are, it could be something very, very small. And so the biggest thing with those two guys we have here is they both have the ability. I am 100% sure of that. No one should be worried whether these guys have the ability. It's a matter of getting their technique down, being consistent. And with any rookie, no matter what position, not being too big.
Adapting
to your environment. And the thing I like about both our kickers is they're both like really level-headed guys. Yeah. You know, Jason Sanders came from a military family. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the youngest of four boys. He had two brothers in the Air Force. His dad's an Air Force guy, very structured, you know, kind of guy. He's always right here, never too high or low. And so I kind of like that about both of them.
I know one thing, guys. When we come in for our free lunch, normally in the middle of the week after practice.
You say lunch, you have to go in the free
stuff. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
You pay for yours?
No.
In Joe's mind, he's already paid for it.
Yeah, that's right. No, when we come in for our lunch, okay, during the week, don't park in the players' parking lot, even remotely close to the field, because you may get a broken windshield.
Or kicking them over the
fence. These guys are kicking the balls all over the place, through the uprights, but past the netting into the parking lot. So don't go park there for your lunch.
Coach, I never knew, and I'm still not sure what the word is, meme. But every time I hear the word meme, I think of you. You know what a meme is?
No.
I don't know. It's one of those pictures that they put on. It's every time you get into a referee's face or somebody, you got that face that's perfect for memes, and I don't even know what memes are. But
I found out what a meme was.
I remember it happened to you, and I was talking to you one time, and you go, oh, my daughter came up.
Yeah.
Dad.
that's how I found what a meme was.
My
daughter texts me. She's like, Dad, there's a really funny meme of you. Right. And I'm like, I'm looking at it. I think she was like a spell check. Right. Like, what is a meme? What is a mem? What is like, what is it? Right. So I text her back. What's the typo? What was, and she's like, no, Dad, you know what a meme is? I'm like, what's a meme? She's like, oh, there's a great meme of you out there. I'm like, well, send this. She sent it to me. I'm like, that's a meme? She's like, yeah, you don't know what a meme is? So I definitely have learned what a meme is.
You know, you brought up something great. In today's NFL, a guy messes up on special teams. They go right to you. It's in the game now. And you're out there MFing and going. Do you have to watch for that now? I mean, can you ever block that out when you're into it and you're getting caught up in everything, or is it knowing?
Do you really think I give a shit?
No. Damn, Rizzo, fireball! That son of a bitch gets after it.
I get the opportunity to be down the sideline for every one of these games. And I'm always looking for that moment.
That's his I don't give a shit meme.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pay you a big honor. You know, Coach Shula, one of the great coaches of all time. I think you're right next to him when it came to agitating officials or getting in their face, because he was the king. No, there'll never be anyone better than him. But you're pretty damn close up there.
They all thought their name was MF. They didn't know. They thought that was their name and never said anything. Does Gase ever, he's a little mellow. Now, he gets his point. He gets out there, but you're next to him. Does he ever go, hey?
Oh, no, I've seen him do that. Hey, whoa.
He get going.
Pull him back.
He does. He's really good because, obviously, he's play calling on Sundays, and so he does a really good job of staying in his zone. And he's a play caller. And you know what? To give him credit, his personality on game day is different than mine. I mean, listen, I'm one of those guys that can, and the players have kind of gotten to know me by now. The new guys always have to kind of figure me out. But you guys have seen this before. I can scream at a guy, and 2 seconds later, I'm hugging him.
Yeah,
and that's just right. That's the Italian in me,
that's
John.
It. I know. We can't help it.
It's over.
Yeah. It's like, throw up, and then I'm fine. No, I get it out. I got to get it out. If I keep it in, it's going to be like the eruption's coming. Right. So I just get it out, and then I'm over. It's
you got to be different with kickers?
It's done. Yes. Yeah.
Question, right?
You know what's funny?
I'll give you a trifecta of guy. That's a team under their self. They all hang around
snap,
together.
The snapper, the kicker, and the punter.
It's a different, and we spend so much time with them, and it's just we're always talking about technique and everything. It's like, again, I'll go back to golf. You're not gonna go out and scream at a golfer. Yeah. Golfer hits one into the woods. You're like, what the fuck? Or a pitcher with every pitch. You're not gonna go out there and start screaming at the guy for every pitch. Kickers are a lot like that. I got a really funny story. So you guys remember Jimmy Wilson played here, right?
Yeah.
So Jimmy, me and Jimmy had a love hate, God bless him, right? So I loved him, but I always want to strangle him sometimes. Right. And I would scream at him, and then same thing. It was a scream and then hug kind of guy. So one day we're in a game, we're playing up at the Jets, and I think it was Sturgis misses a kick, first quarter, first drive to go down. He misses like a 40-something yarder, pushes it right, and Jimmy Wilson runs out, and he starts screaming at Sturgis, right? And I start screaming at Jimmy Wilson, Jimmy, what the fuck? I start screaming at him, and then afterwards, I kind of circled around. I said, Jimmy, listen, kickers are different than, they're different. It's not like you and me, right? So now fast forward like a couple weeks later, Sturgis did something. I started screaming at him, right? And next thing you know, I turn around and Jimmy Wilson's right behind me. And he's looking at me and goes, hey, coach, kickers are different than us. I said, get the hell out of here.
Just let me get it out.
I will tell you, the weirdest thing, I think Bo will agree, in big games, no matter who the kicker was, if he missed a big one, there were some guys on the side going to say some shit to him. There was no holding back. One of Bo's favorite guys, Bob Kuchenberg, was one of the worst.
Make kick. That's all you're doing.
That's all you do, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, leave those guys alone. No,
We had a punter one time that was – he was running a cold streak, and he's shanking balls. And you know how it is. You're a defensive guy. You want to be closest to where you're going to – you figure, okay, we're punting. Ball's going to come down here, so we get all the way down to that end. So you can go over there, and all of a sudden this guy shanks the ball.
Now you're
son of a bitch. Now you got a long way to go. So it got so bad that no matter where he kicked the ball, there was a line of guys. We'd all veer over towards him, kick the damn ball, and then head back to
serving
the
time back to the huddle.
Serving time back.
Listen, I've heard them
you're
all.
You're like a snake.
Yeah. I've heard the best kickers are the ones that just let it bounce off them. They hear it. They hear it. Sometimes they give it right back to them. I know. That's all I do. Get the hell out of here.
I wanted to ask you about, look, it's special teams. You get that oddball out there. You get a lot of knuckleheads on special teams, right?
Sure.
You get those guys that, they're really not that good of athletes, but they'll run through a brick wall if you put up in front of them. No, they're those kind of guys. And so we had a kid. Granny played the Jets in a big game. They were battling for the AFC East, playing them in the Orange Bowl. And they saw on the tape the backside contained guy kept collapsing, So we were working on a reverse. Working a reverse all week long. So the first time, they're covering. Sure enough, the guy stands true to his thing. We let him go one time. Boom. So okay. Next time we're gonna get him. Next time they kick off, we're gonna get him. So the one guy's job, or was the middle guy, he's right over the kicker. His job was to take the kicker out. Right. That was all his. His job was to take the kicker out. Take one of the safeties out. That's the kicker. Your guy's right in front of him. And this guy, I think he probably bennied up for the game a little bit, had a few greenies and covered different things, slobber coming out of his mouth, grinding his teeth, So the kicker comes running up to kick the ball. He almost blocked the kickoff. He was close enough to where if he'd have put his hands up, he could have blocked the kickoff. And he drills the kick. Kicker barely gets the ball. Meanwhile, the ball comes out. We run the reverse. It goes for about 60 yards, right? Perfect. Flag called back. Shula MF this guy. He was one of the many guys that if I could cut you right now. But anyway, your best knucklehead stories out there.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, let me tell you something. I got a million of them. I got one. So we're working on this pump block all week, we're going to pump lock all week, all week, all week. We're going to rush set up. We're going to block this punt. We're going to block this punt. We're going to block this punt. So their wing on their punt team was oversetting. It's getting way too deep. So we're going to up and under this son of a gun. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. You know, the first time, we're going to rush him outside to get him. Sure, yeah, we're going to speed rush outside, right? Boom. Okay. So sure as hell, right? Second time up, like, here it comes. Yeah. We are blocking this punt. Guy oversets. Our guy up, under, goes underneath him, goes over, goes to block the punt. I see the ball go right over his head. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Right? How'd you miss the punt? He comes off the field. He goes, Coach, I know he's a lefty punter. What the hell? He was blocking off the right foot. I said, no, are you effing kidding me? Oh, we weren't. We actually had the scout team punter
punt, lefty,
punt with his left foot.
Just so
we could practice blocking. He went off the wrong foot.
Wow.
Son of a bitch.
That's got to be a first. Maybe only.
I was like, I didn't know what to say.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Hey, I got one for you. And it was me that did it. We were playing a college game against Syracuse, and we had missed about 3 field goals inside the 30-yard line. And it was a 13-10 game type of game. And there was no overtime with this. You know, you tie, that's it. So end of the game, we get an interception. We move the ball inside like the 35-yard line. We're going to go and line up for the winning kick to win the game at home against Syracuse. So all of a sudden, I'm just getting everybody organized. Hey, don't jump off sides. Everybody make sure you're on the ball. Field goal on center snap, break the huddle. And I look, and there's this guy I've never seen before. And he goes, hey, John Ace, what's going on? I'm going, who are you? He goes, I'm the kicker. I go,
they stuck a new kicker.
He was a walk-on kicker, but I never even held for him before in my life. And I didn't even really know his name. So I said, what's your name? He goes, it's Pat. I said, Pat, please make this kick, okay? He goes, no problem. I said, just don't be nervous. Just do it like you did at practice. Whoever you were kicking at practice, do it like that, right? So I get down, and I was telling you this on the practice field the other day. I'm all righty kickers. I didn't know he was left-footed.
Come on.
No, I line up on the – I go, you ready, kid? He goes, you better get on the other side. I go, what? He goes, I'm lefty. I went, oh, now I get up
in the middle of the game.
I'm so nervous. I'm going to block the kick. Syracuse doesn't even have the rush. Yeah. I'm going to snap this thing. I'll block it with my hand, no problem.
In the middle of a game.
Yeah, wow. It was right at the end. It was like 2 seconds left in the game.
We're playing a game in the Orange Bowl. Go out to the punt. And in the up back, you know, up back's counting guys. Make sure I got all my going to the right. Got everybody. Turns around, no punter. Looks over and Shula's going, God, punt the ball! Punt the ball! He goes,
there's a damn punter!
He looks over, the punter's sitting there sucking down oxygen. He's sitting on the bench with the oxygen mask.
No way.
I swear to God. You guys aren't on the team for very much longer.
Well, you guys remember last preseason, we had 10 guys on the field. You guys remember that one? Yeah. Our backup snapper, God bless him. So we had literally, someone had done that in the preseason game the week before in another game. We had literally on that, I think we played on a Thursday night. On that Wednesday, I said, hey, we show the plays from around the league that, you know, could affect everybody. But we show that play. Hey, guys, you know, this is never going to happen. But if it ever happens, we get 10 guys out there. The personal protectors go easy, 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 and everyone's going to look to the sideline, give me the 10 sign, and we're not going to snap the ball, blah, blah, blah. Well, you guys remember what happened.
Everybody was standing,
we literally watched that the day before.
Right.
So we got 10 guys, our wing didn't go out, and I think it was Jordan Lucas and Sonoris Perry. They turn, they give me the 10. I'm like, where the hell's the wing? And I'm looking for the wing, and all of a sudden I see the ball go past us and all.
Everybody was looking over at us. I'll never forget the play. Everybody was looking and he whizzes it.
And the punter even got surprised. Right. Like it was Matt Darr got surprised, but he just, oh, God, he was like back there like a sitting duck, yeah.
Well, speaking of maybe one of the most important guys on special teams, John Denny. I mean, he's like the Iron Horse, right? Going into his 14th year. Tell us a little bit about what makes him so consistent and so durable throughout his career.
I'll start with the durability. The first thing, if anybody that knows John, he is in phenomenal physical condition. You know, he's a guy that he really does an unbelievable job of taking care of his body. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally, when the season's over, he may take maybe a week off at the most. And then I joke around that he's here more than me. I mean, he's in the weight room, he's in the training room, he's taking care of his body. So however old he is, 58 or
whatever. Yeah, that's right.
But I mean, 55 now, yeah.
But he's got the body of a 30-year-old because of how well he takes care of himself. It starts with that. Starts with he's in great physical condition. Second thing is he's got a really, really great mentality. He's another guy that you would never know too high, too low. I mean, in all the years I've known him now, going on season 10,
yep.
I can't even name two or three times where he got excited or emotional right. or, you know, the thing most emotional I've ever seen him is when we make a game-winning kick or something like that, and what you get about a fist that you get about, you know, all right, way to go, and then he's on to his next thing. And so I think that he's really kept a really good mentality through this thing.
Yeah.
Every year he comes in, he's got I call it a beginner's mentality. Yeah. And I talk to our rookies about it, and I talk to our vets about it too. Every time training camp starts, we start anew. You know, I remember reading Michael Jordan's book, and he talked about having beginner's mentality every year in training camp. He would talk, you know, go back and put his feet on the foul line for like he was doing it for the first time or grab a ball. And I've always remembered that. And I always, John is one of those guys, beginner's mentality, never thinks he's got it. You know,
right.
You guys know it. The guys that think they got it,
you're
they don't,
gone.
No one's got it. You're going to be out one step out.
I think he's always paranoid about, you know, the situation. You bring in other guys, his money he's making as a veteran. Yeah. All that
I'll tell
stuff.
You this, though. You know, the other thing, he's a football player. He runs down and you know, he's always in the mix.
Yep.
He's all, you know, he gets rid of the ball and he's down and he's not avoiding contact. He makes plenty of tackles. You know, he's a player.
And the thing about it is the long snapping position in the NFL is so much different than college because the NFL, you have to block.
Yep.
And in college, most of those guys, 90% of them don't block. And so it's really hard to find younger snappers. And that's why not only John, but you see that probably the average age of snappers in this league is higher than any other position in the league, because once you carve a niche out for yourself and you prove that you can do it, it's hard to get rid of those guys.
Is he still one of the fastest guys in from point eight, snapping it to the
– You know, his velocity is slow. If anything has gone down a little bit, maybe it's his velocity, but his accuracy is outstanding, and his blocking is as good as there is still. I mean, he's still in the upper tier of the league as far as that goes. And so, you know, and you mentioned about him always being paranoid. You know, I remember when I was a young coach, I think I was like 24, I went to one of those coaching clinics, right? I'm going to go learn something. And Joe Paterno was talking, right? And Joe, here I am in 1994, and Joe Paterno's towards the end a little bit, and he talks, and there's 1,500 people in the room, and I'm there with my notebook, and I'm writing it. And one thing that I took out of that clinic was Joe Paterno said, you always have to run scared. And then everyone's kind of looking around like, if you're not running scared, as a player or a coach, you're going to be out.
Yeah.
And that was his term, running scared.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're not always looking over your shoulder and you're always just, I got this thing, I'm fine. And it always stuck with me as a coach too. Like if you're not running scared and you're going to lose your job as a player or a coach, guess what?
Right.
You're done. As soon as you get satisfied,
you're
content. So John's never content. He's always looking for ways to improve. He's always looking for ways to make himself better. And I know it's.
Coach, you ever listen to our podcast?
Once in a while.
You don't listen to it. You never listen to it, have you?
No, I have before.
You know where do you listen to it at?
On my computer.
So you listen you listen to it in TuneIn Radio? Is that where you listen to it?
Or no. Dolphins.com?
Yes.
You don't have the Dolphins mobile app because you can hear it on the Dolphins mobile app too.
I don't have the Dolphins mobile. I got this.
Joe doesn't have the Dolphins mobile app either.
But you don't have an Apple. You don't have an iPhone, so you can't listen to it on Apple Music then.
I can't. I guess my kids make fun of me. I got a Droid.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know.
TuneIn Radio.
I like my Droid.
Look at Joe. TuneIn Radio.
Dolphins.com. I probably get the scaled down version.
Scaled down to Dolphins.com.
I get the edited version, the F-bombs and the L.
If you ever want to send a question for us to answer, you can send it through Facebook or Twitter, just so you know. You know, if you're sitting up there in the room and you're listening to that podcast on TuneIn Radio or Miami Dolphins app or Dolphins.com.
Bro, you think I'm on
iTunes.
Facebook?
No. Send it.
I think two of us aren't.
I think your meme's on there.
Your meme is definitely on there.
Exactly.
Right. Anyway, Coach, thanks for stopping by, man.
Cool. Yeah, thanks, Riz.
Always a pleasure having you. And so it was always good, great stuff. And I got to go take my dog to the groomer. That's it, fellas. The show's over.
We're done.
I say it's over. It's over.